Please continue.
Hello and welcome to Company Picnic, Mae McDonough and Company's weekly salon on music, the universe, and all things absolutely fucking horrible. I am your host, Mae McDonough, and with me are my co-hosts, the world's smallest drummer, Lo Marie.
Hello.
And the world's largest ego, Rusty Huber. Say hello, Rusty.
Thank you. Hello.
That was probably mean. It's our first podcast, so I get to be mean. Yeah. It's Beer Thanksgiving. If you don't know, that's a national holiday.
Shout out to Jim. Get off work. Oliva.
Yeah. So what are we drinking? Rusty, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a combination of Red Hook IPA, Wild Turkey 81,
what the hell?
Walgreens Benadryl, and medicinal herbs.
What is in that? The clear stuff?
Oh, it's water.
Oh. That's probably good for you. All right. What are you drinking, Laura?
I'm drinking Bud Light.
As usual.
Still, yeah, I'm not a fan.
In honor of beer Thanksgiving.
Never been good at that holiday.
Yeah, I think on Beer Thanksgiving you're supposed to drink wildly local beers.
Supposed to.
Like Red Hook.
Yes. Like what I'm drinking, which is Red Hook's Copper Hook. Thinks gold and silver are way too overrated. It doesn't say too. I added that in. I don't know why I felt like self-editing. You bought these for me, though.
True that.
I'm just drinking what I'm given. So, this is our first podcast. We're a band. We live together. And we shoot the shit. And we figured we shoot the shit so well the nation would want to hear it. which I'm sure is not true.
We've got marksmanship badges and shoot shitting.
Oh, here comes Frankie, our dog. Should you open the door for
shooting?
Her? Open the door for her. But,
I don't think she's outside. I think she heard the doorbell.
No, she's knocking at the TV downstairs. Or barking at it. But, well, while Rusty deals with that, so what did we do this week, Lo?
We did a lot of stuff this week.
We did.
First, we turned our house into a giant blanket fort, which
2,500 square foot blanket fort.
I'm back with Frankie, by the way.
2,500? Our house is that long?
I'm estimating. I googled.
Our house is about 1,500 square feet.
Oh,
I googled the average small two-story house.
And then you just put it a.
Yes, and then I stated it as a fact on the internet on multiple websites.
Bitching.
That's how you
put
do
that
it.
Shit on Wikipedia.
But I also stated 92 sheets, and that was an estimation as well.
By the way, Frankie was barking at a doorbell on the TV.
That's what I assumed she was. Good girl, Frankie. What else did we do? What did we do with... Oh, tell us about George.
Ah, yes.
Wizard.
George was a good friend. I think we met 5 days ago. His little tail was sticking out between leaves, and I thought he really wanted to be inside of a jar. So, I gave him that opportunity in life, but turns out.
This was my experience. I came home, and you said, I caught a lizard.
And I'm so
I
happy
came outside, and you had it in a jar, which I thought was disgusting. And then I left, and we came back 2 hours later, and then you walked in the kitchen, and you said, I killed it. It was like a What's Eating Gilbert Grape moment. Like, oh, killed it. It was like that, but with Lo. And she was actually pretty sad.
He didn't like the jar, apparently. And
well, you cooked him. You cooked him.
It was an accident.
In a glass jar.
I thought we were having a good time in the sun. Turns out it was a little too hot for George.
To your credit, you did consult, you know, an expert.
Which was you. And you told me that he would be fine for World's 24 hours. Eater.
Yeah, I was very confident that he would have survived at least a day in the jar. I mean, you did populate it with some soil and some leaves.
By soil, it was maybe a fourth of a teaspoon, first of all. And three leaves from a gardenia plant, which were very small.
No those water. Were the weeds in the backyard.
Although I must say, I did not think you were just going to leave him on the picnic table in the sun, though.
I wanted to keep him out in nature. I didn't...
She's never used a magnifying glass before. She's on ants. She doesn't know what
happened. I left the jar off so he had oxygen. I really thought he was going to be okay, but he didn't make it.
No. The worst thing is she said, next time I'll do things better. And I had to tell her there would be no next time.
I just need to make it up to the lizard community.
Oh, yeah, that's what she said. No, that's what she said. She said, I just wish I could tell all of the lizard community that I'm not against them. I just made a mistake.
It was a big mistake, I'll give you that. I'm really sorry about George.
But you did go through and...
Things will get better.
You followed through and gave George all of the, you know, traditional rites and... You know, did the funeral ritual.
Oh, you did that. Yeah, I didn't even know what we did. I just trusted you that was what was supposed
you
to happen.
You just wanted to set
George.
Something on fire. Really.
No.
We have a fire pit in our backyard, and we built a funeral pyre and wrapped George in a napkin. And then
finest linens.
We used a sheet from the blanket for it. That's right. Tying things back. That's called a callback in comedy. I don't know what that's called in your living room, but...
We didn't have, like, frankincense and myrrh, so we used some fancy aftershave that I got
sage.
As a gift.
I put sage in there.
But that's not frankincense or myrrh.
No, we set his spirit free.
Yeah, we lit him on fire is what we really did.
Yeah. It smelled very interesting.
All right, with that lovely notion... and insight into our personal lives.
Check out video footage of the construction of the funeral pyre, the funeral ceremony itself, and Laura's wonderful eulogy for George.
Did you put that on the internet?
On our video blog, maymcdonoughandcompany.com, or check it out on the YouTube page.
We are stretching. We are stretching for content, so... That's what we got. We also have a lovely video of me at the DMV.
Yes. Yeah, it's great.
Also, we have the blanket fort video, which is actually impressive, but we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Just keep checking back. Yeah. We'll have better stuff.
So, we're going to move on to our very first segment. Yay! yeah.
Okay.
This first, wow, 2004. Our very first segment is called What the Fuck is Up with Pop Music? Because really, what the fuck is up with pop music? Basically, the idea is that most of pop music out these days is so utterly incomprehensibly ridiculous that we just can't help ourselves but explore the reality of the shit people put in their ears these days. And, I don't know, what do you guys think of that? In general? I kind of think of it as baby food. Like, pop music is baby food. And people just keep feeding it to them. It's just this pasty, mush, overly processed shit. And then... You try and offer a baby saffron, they don't know what the fuck that is, let alone want to eat it. That's what good music is, I guess. Saffron.
Well, I guess...
Am I losing you?
No, I guess I see where you're going with it, but I'd say it's more like that it's all the same paste, but then it's like put into molds, you know, kind of like chicken nuggets. Like
I like chicken nuggets, though.
They are very tasty, but... What are they made out of? No part of a chicken looks like that. Like,
no.
I don't think that they have, like, cookie cutters that they're, like, cutting out of chicken breast. Like, I think that
that's
they're probably,
my Seinfeld,
like,
impression.
Like, putting it
if
into a mold.
If it's not a, or if I don't know where it may come from, I'm doing a terrible one. I don't want to make eat it. I'm not going into comedy. I tried, I failed. That's what Jerry Seinfeld would say about that. But I agree
Whackety
with you. Right?
Schmackety-doo.
Oh, we can't steal Patton Oswalt's taglines.
If you're listening to this, Mr. Oswalt.
Our hero.
It's an homage. It's not hero. It's not us ripping you off.
Oh, he's my hero.
No, he's fantastic. She's actually had sexual fantasies about...
I did not have sexual fantasies about Patton Oswalt.
I had
a dream in which...
I'm gonna have
he
to
asked me
turkey.
On a date, please have wild turkey. That is 81, not 101, so you can have a shot of it. Just watch yourself. Lo is actually an incredibly small person.
Just
she's
drink 20%.
What, 2 inches short of being legally a midget, right?
Yes, or fuck that person. Too, because I could get benefits if I was just 2 inches
I believe
two
she's
inches
2 inches
short.
Tall.
But anyway, so I had a dream in which Patton Oswalt asked me on a date, and I obviously was not single at the time, and I struggled with this idea of how do I not go on a date with Patton Oswalt? I would really like to know him, but you can't give someone the let's just be friends speech and still actually develop a friendship with them, and that was my dream. It was a very... mundane dream.
What I want to know
no sexual
is what was Patton Oswalt doing, a married man asking a spoken for lady on a date?
Well, I didn't know that much about Patton Oswalt in my dream.
I suppose.
In my dreams, he's single. Yeah, but we got off course. So that said, we were talking about pop music. And Lo showed me a song earlier while we were outside having a smoke, and it's absolutely fucking hideous. So what song was the song title?
The song title is Beauty and a Beat.
Beauty and a Beat.
Yes, clever.
Terrible title. That is absolutely
That is clever.
Utterly...
Give them some credit.
All things but clever.
That took a week. At
I'm
least.
Sure it didn't. I paid someone for it. But who's it by? It's by Justin Bieber and of course, Nicki Minaj, the creator and god of all things terrible.
I like the five-year-olds better than her. But...
Oh, yeah. Sophia Grace and the little pretty one that doesn't talk.
When the five-year-old does your job better than you, I think there's some issues.
It's true.
Oh, are you referring to...
The little toddlers that perform her
dresses.
Songs.
The ones that work for Ellen?
Those ones.
Ellen's little minions.
Was that an SNL sketch?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I kind of think it was. If not, then it has to be.
It should be. Now we're giving advice to SNL writers, the hardest working people in the industry.
You know, I think that they've got a lot to learn from us.
Seeing as how we've been at this for all of 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, we're diverging again. Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music.
Beauty and the Beat.
Oh,
yeah, no, I wasn't really listening. I was reading. I'm sorry. My computer's open.
It's classic.
But, so... Lo is going to do a dramatic reading of the lyrics of this song, Beauty and a Beat.
A Beat.
By
yes.
Justin Bieber featuring Nicki Minaj.
Yes. Okay.
So take it away, Lo.
Here we go. Yeah, Young Money, Nicki Minaj, Justin. Show you off. Tonight I want to show you off. I. What you got about...
Let me stop you right there. I just want to remind you that we decided it was A-A-A.
I really think it's I.
Okay, keep going.
I think it's like
it's a
pirate.
Latin, you know?
The Latin flavor.
I.
Yes.
No, that's like Muslim.
Okay. Racism. Let's go.
What you got, a billion could have never bought. I. We gonna party like it's 3012 tonight. I want to show you all the finer things in life. So just forget about the world. We're young tonight. I'm coming for ya. I'm coming for ya. Cause all I need is a beauty and a beat. You can make my life complete. It's all about you. When the music makes you move, baby, do it like you do. Cause beat break, body rock. Girl, I can feel your body rock. I. Take A-A-A. A bow. You on the hottest ticket now. I. We gonna party like it's 3012 tonight. We've been through this already. And he says the same two things all over again. And then Nicki Minaj comes in and she says...
And this is the brilliant part.
In time, ink lines, B, bitches, couldn't get on my incline. World tour, it's mine. 10 little letters on a big sign. Justin, Bieber, you know I'm a hit 'em with the ether. Buns out, wiener. But I try to make it through that with a straight face. Okay. Buns out, wiener. But I gotta keep an eye out for Selena. Beauty, beauty, and the beast.
Selena Gomez?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, I would assume it's not the dead Selena. That would be in poor taste.
Okay.
His name Gomez. I hope I'm not making a total jackass of myself.
It's too far for that. It's too late. Keep going.
Okay.
Please.
Beauty, beauty and the beast. Beauty from the east. Beautiful confessions of the priest. Beast. Beauty from the streets. We don't get deceased. Every time a beauty on the beat. Body rock girl.
Before you go on, can we go back to the butts and wieners line for a second?
Buns. Oh, it's buns.
Buns. All right. Read the line before it, that line, and the line after it.
Justin, Bieber, you know I'm gonna hit him with the ether. Buns out, wiener. But I gotta keep an eye out for Selena.
Okay, is the buns out wiener thing completely irrelevant to any line around it?
No, I think that perhaps what's going on is that Nicki Minaj and Justin Bieber are two lesbians at like a 4th of July barbecue. And Nicki Minaj is like really eyeballing Justin Bieber. Like, damn, that girl's fine. And, like... You know, obviously, she's like putting a hot dog in a bun, and it's like exciting her because it's phallic.
It's a slow motion, salacious. Yeah. She's really just at like this point.
Saying words that she sees. You know,
she is like a small child, just observing.
Yeah.
But buns, wiener.
I don't have an explanation. I'll go with Rusty's.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I also like, and I said this before, but I also like how they're partying like it's 3012, because in the history of time, partying just means getting drunk. But I like the idea that in 1,000 years, partying will mean something way more intense. That's all.
Okay. All right.
I like that there's some exponential idea to how hard you can party in this concept of life.
I read a lot about, like, biohacking, like being able to,
I
like...
see where this is going.
Okay, so it's like using chemicals to, like, put your,
yeah,
your
I know brain what biohacking
and
is.
Your, like, neurology into, like, specific states.
Yeah.
And that, like, with the potential.
Oh, you're saying this is what partying would be in 3012?
Yeah.
Biohacking?
Like, you know, just fucking set your mind to party. Like, all of a sudden, it's just like. It's like a dubstep music video all the time. Just like shit's vibrating all crazy and in slow motion with strobe. Yeah, but, you know, that's the future.
But we already have that, and it's called LSD.
No, LSD is not exactly like that.
It can be.
Which brings us to an interesting point about our dare conversation earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And Rusty was explaining how all the lectures didn't deter him from doing drugs. They just made them seem more interesting.
No, I mean, it's like, how can you portray, like, certain hallucinogens in a bad light to a little kid? Like, especially when you're doing it in, like, a formulaic kind of sense. It's like, you know, like, alcohol, it impairs your judgment and your motor skills. And, you know, like, it makes you sick and throw up. And, like, cocaine, you know, like, it makes you irritable and it makes you paranoid and shit. Like, you know, slight euphoria. But then it gets to the hallucinogens and it's like, makes you feel like you can talk to gods, superpowers, like, see colors, and, like, everything is like a cartoon. When I was 10 years old, 11 years old, that seemed like the tits. Like, I had never even heard of LSD before that, okay. But I was certain at that age, that
this
became a goal.
This question bears asking, how old were you exactly? 10 years old when Dare came to you?
Fourth grade. So wow. That's what, like 11?
Yeah. And I was a very small school. I didn't have Dare till I was in junior high.
Yeah, I went to private school and we had Dare, but all they did was bring in the drug dog and they said, he will find you if you do drugs.
Really?
That was our education.
Well, and keep in mind, really we all went to school in different places in elementary. Or did you guys go to elementary together?
No, we didn't.
Okay, yeah. Well, I went to a public school in relatively inner city type environment. Keep in mind, the CIA and FBI are like pushing drugs into they're trying to create as much of a market as possible for drugs in that demographic.
The CIA and the FBI, they would do that.
I'm trying to say yes, that the DARE program for inner city kids is different.
This is also the man who's very disappointed to find out that the moon conspiracy was disproven recently.
How was it disproven? Oh, that's right. That's right.
He just went over
that's
this.
That's right. An amateur fucking astronomer fucking actually got pictures of the lunar rover and shit that was left behind.
Rusty which will I'm believe bummed out. Any conspiracy that exists.
No, I will consider.
No, it's not consider. You spout them as though they are biblical knowledge.
Maybe more credible than biblical.
I was gonna say, I don't know.
I meant it as a phrase, but you believe those things. If there's any possibility that there could be a conspiracy, you believe there is one. Which is absolutely.
Is somebody paying you to say this shit?
See, exactly.
That's the point.
It's the absolute opposite of what the rational, logical approach to society and government is. Let's not go down that
road. I'm sorry.
I believe there's plenty of conspiracies, too. I just don't believe in lizard people.
Everybody talk about
pop music!
Lizard people!
Pop music.
All right, so let's move on from the pop music section. I don't know what happened right there. That was a very serious segment. Let's move on to our next segment, which is called Ideas We Have to Fix Society, but not really. This is a segment in which we identify problems in society and try to solve them. So, the first resolution that I want to talk about is something that Rust brought up recently. Now, the problem that Rusty had identified
I did not identify this problem.
That was
personally
brought to your attention.
I recently had the experience of working with a couple of very interesting young women who were very nice, very friendly. As far as I can tell, live a slightly more typical lifestyle than I do. You know, I'm a little bit behind the curve on, you know, like social technology specifically. and, you know, all of that razzmatazz. But apparently it's not uncommon for guys to like get contact information for young ladies and then like start a dialogue with them. I think it's often called sexting. But then we'll send a photo, a digital photo of their genitals. This is known as a dick pic. To these unsuspecting...
Yes, colloquially, this is known as a dick pic.
Yeah, to these unsuspecting young ladies. You know, and I don't want to go into the whole, like,
scientifically, though, it's
like,
called penile communicile.
Yeah. Penis communicus. Yes.
Peni...
But yeah, that's so it just kind of bums me out that it's like, you know, women got to be wary now that, you know, they can't divulge their contact information to someone without fear of, like, you know, receiving some kind of a digital genital correspondence.
Before we go into your resolution, I will tell my personal story with the circumstance. There is one. It's not because I gave away my personal information. It's because on April 1st, I chose to start a pranking war. Well, I chose to play a prank. I didn't realize it would become a pranking war. On our dear friend, Arun. And apparently he takes April Fool's Day very seriously. And I began the entire day with wrapping his entire SUV in cellophane and creating a cardboard box around that. And, which perhaps wasn't the most mild prank to start the day off with, but again, I didn't know that I was going to be an entire war. And so throughout the day, the pranks just kept one-upping one another. And, eventually my phone started ringing, yes, and I was getting texts just consistently, one after another, and I couldn't even answer the phone. That's how many texts and phone calls were coming in at the same time. But eventually I opened a text, and it was just one dick pic after another. I mean, my phone must have had 30 dick pics in 2 minutes.
That's like Guinness record.
I don't think it is.
Have you submitted yet?
I'm not sure it is. No, they're saved all on a private hard drive that I keep to myself. And I knew, I called Rune immediately and I said, take it down, because I knew what he had to have done was put my phone number
on Craigslist.
And what he did is he put my phone number on Craigslist and said, that I was a couple looking for a third party to have a good time with, and then he Googled a pair of ridiculously large breasts with areolas just unequivocally large
areolas.
What
is the thing about the areolas, by the way? It's like, why are there so many different permutations of that? Like, some women have huge, blown out, super pixelated.
it's a breeding quality, isn't it, though? I mean, wide hips, as much as birthing hips, as much as wide hips are considered birthing hips, aren't large areolas meant for the
good
child's
feet?
Eye? I don't know,
but it's the nipple's the business end of it, you know? It's like, why if the nipple is just like, you know, button size, why does the areola have to be super big on some ladies, super non-existent on others, and like a whole range of mid-size? I don't get that.
They're the same on men too, aren't they?
I don't know if there's as much variation.
I am certain there is.
I am certain there is.
Well, I haven't seen as many men's nips as you ladies, but
likewise, I have no idea what you're talking about. The details about the women's. Never really considered it.
But not to detour from the conversation, obviously I've certainly experienced a plethora in a very small amount of time of dick pics, and it is a problem. There wasn't such a thing as Twitter at the time. Yeah.
So basically, like, as stated, as soon as somebody puts their contact info, apparently you create this vacuum in which some particular demographic of men feels necessary to fill with pictures of their penis.
But you said unsuspecting females. Unsuspecting? Where did you meet these guys that are sending you dick pics?
You know, any shady guy can seem like a normal dude.
That's absolutely true. And I think part of the appeal in this dick pic psychology is that it's an aggressive act. I think.
Yeah, it's visually
because
raping.
Because you couldn't possibly take...
visually raping it.
You couldn't possibly take a picture of your genitalia and send it to a lady if you thought that was a sweet, wonderful wooing gesture. There's no possible way for anyone but a sociopath to do that, and a sociopath wouldn't give a shit, and therefore that would totally negate the entire argument. A sociopath is the only person who could do that and wouldn't. So the appeal has to be that they are aggressively forcing their genitalia, even through miles and miles of digital space, in the face of a woman.
Trying to fuck your eyeballs.
That's a little extreme, I think.
It's called fiking.
What? You guys are both crazy. I think the whole dick pic thing is disgusting, don't get me wrong. I have had one person I know send me a dick pic. But at the same time, he sent it to me, and then I thought to myself, yeah, he would do that. And then I just scrolled
but
down my
messages.
But
did you think he would do that because...
I think it got him the results that he wanted at some point. And I think females...
You honestly think there was a woman who said, that'll do.
I think she was maybe desperate for attention, and he was a rather good-looking gentleman. And I think that, yes, I think it got him what he wanted at some point. Otherwise, I don't think he would have sent it to me. Because him and I were not having a conversation at the time. It had been at least 2 weeks before I talked
to him.
But
that's exactly our point, is that it's an aggressive act.
It also could
be sending it to someone
like
who is giving you no
primal
knowledge
thing.
They want that.
Like a baboon presenting its engorged, like, buttocks area. You know, when it gets all red and purple and green, like that's rainbow nice. Color.
Okay.
And it just, like, stands in front of the female and is like... And that's monkey talk for check out my huge fucking engorged colorful butt.
But again, this goes back to the same situation, is that makes sense for someone who hasn't been integrated into society at all, but someone who spent any number of years understanding what women want, even the worst of women, can't possibly think that presenting their genitalia via camera phone is what makes a woman's
food. Yeah, the brass tacks of it, yeah. The brass tacks of it is totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
And whether these men That's are true. Sociopaths or just naive or what have you, it should not be there for the rest of us to have to fucking deal with.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
That's
100%. So what is your resolution to the problem?
Okay. All right. Meet tweets.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a lot like, you know, like Twitter or like an AIM kind of a thing.
AIM? Did you?
Well, it's like, you know, it's
people call it that. I've called it AIM.
I don't know.
Go on.
You know. It's basically a bare-bones social network that involves, you know, more...
Is it open source?
Well, it'd have to be. Okay. I can't afford to program this myself. Anyway, back on track. It's essentially a social space not unlike Twitter... Or, you know, Skype, or, you know, like a very, very streamlined version of Facebook that solely has to do with messages and picture sharing. And it's a place where men who are so inclined to go to send dick pics to women. But here's the thing, is like the only women on the site are actually mostly like bots, you know.
Mostly as in part droid, part human.
Well, you know.
Or mostly as in there are humans and there are droids.
I can't exclude the possibility that there are some females on this planet who actually enjoy receiving dick pics. And if
you looked at me like I was one of them. Let me just say that.
You're the only one that I know that's received one personally.
Fuck this.
Did I not just go into
not attractive. Just make it clear.
About receiving?
Not attractive.
No, yours was result of a prank. Hers was legitimate.
That's true, but let's say it's untrue, because...
Okay.
Forget that story. Go on.
Anyway. I think that there probably is a small subsection of the female demographic that would enjoy receiving anonymous pictures of penises, and I would not deny them the ability to start an account as a female to receive dick
pics. Weren't we discussing that, because my idea was to expand this social media network to Twatter.
Yeah.
You would have meat tweets for the men, and you have Twatter for the women.
Yeah.
And then you would have Twatchers, which are...
Yeah, that's like a widget for
the meat tweets to connect with the Twatters.
Yeah. So that guys can twat watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twatch.
We can keep them all in a box.
They're gonna twatch it.
Yeah, they can.
The box. It should just be the box container.
And I don't think we even have to talk about this anymore. I think that people...
No, we absolutely do, because I think this is a ridiculously terrible idea, because... I'll be the one to dare to say this is a terrible idea.
This is a billion dollar idea.
I'm not even saying it's a bad idea for all the obvious reasons, which is why we really should say this is a bad idea. I'm actually going to say this is a bad idea simply for that psychological reason again. I don't think, unless you went ahead and did develop my additive twatter, I don't think that solely as meat tweets... that it would be very appealing to guys.
Wait, do the guys know that they're tweeting?
They would have to. How could you on the internet not know this is how this social media site worked?
Dude, there are so many female bots on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so many on Twitter.
Yes, and you're aware of that, and you don't even use Facebook.
People subscribe to them, though.
People are aware of it. People subscribe to it, yes. But in general sense, that's not enough subscribers to keep the thing solely on fembots.
I really think that
you would need actual females.
I really think that the process of going through these steps, like a placebo effect, is enough to satiate that urge. I really think that it's like that basal of like an instinct.
Do you think sociologically that it's that important to them that even just the placebo effect?
What is it exactly? Just having people see their dick, or like,
I think it's a combination of things. I think that part of it is the aggression, is that there's the slight like the victim. Like sense of it, and we'll have to program the bots to respond I created my account on this site to meet cool Christian dudes or whatever, and then like the guy sends a dick pic, and then the bot responds like OMG, like oh my, I've never seen a penis before. That's it'll send a second message. I can't believe you did that, but I'm strangely curious. And it'll totally play into the fantasy.
So this is going to have algorithms that determine personas and types.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's
can gonna, you be can so you easy, okay? Though. Let me ask so you easy. Then. When you log on, when you register to meet tweets, do you have a filter in which you can choose what types you like?
Oh yeah, there'll be a small little questionnaire, so it'll help refine the process of like matching the right bot to the right fucking perverted ass dick picker.
Okay.
Yeah. Overall, like, listen, I'm not trying to promote dick picking. I'm trying to remove dick pics from more, like, mainstream social media spaces. So like, I'm trying to create a space that is safe for dick pic guys to go do their dick pic things, keeping the general public away from dick pic related activities.
You're not trying to promote dick picking, but you're going to start a business that is solely a proprietary venture based
on dick picking. It's like a shared needle program.
Shared needling.
No, what do they call that?
Does not make profit.
It's not a shared needling. It's a, what do they call it? Needle disposal, needle, clean needle.
Clean needle programming where they give clean needles to heroin addicts.
Yeah.
There's no profit involved.
No, I understand that. I don't want to make money from
I'm this. Saying, okay. Yeah, okay. This is, oh my God, this is a non-profit organization you're creating?
Dun, dun, dun.
Meat Tweets is a non-profit organization.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now you're all in.
I'm all in. I'm just so glad to know that this is not a discriminatory non-profit circumstance, that all genitalia is accepted. Of course, it's going to be racist.
Like, you know, it's one small involved, step, right? But, you know, one giant leap.
I feel like I should take that back, but the joke's out there already.
Maybe we could cut it out in editing.
Yeah, I'm gonna add some white noise.
Do we have editing? What's our budget?
Budget is me.
Shit.
So we got a vast budget.
Well, I think that's a fantastic idea. Wait, what am I saying? No, I don't. I don't at all. Maybe I do. I don't know. But we're gonna move on really quickly. And hopefully speed through this before we go into our last segment. You also mentioned a really quick problem with ashtrays and homeless people needing cigarettes. Do you want to run through your problem?
Oh, it's not so much a problem with ashtrays or problem with homeless people needing cigarettes, but, all right, so...
There's a disconnect.
You know, I realize that, you know... Although smoking is actually on the rise amongst the young population for the first time in, I think, for like 50 years.
I think it's attached to the unemployment move.
Probably is, you know. Bored people need things to do, and smoking is definitely something that you do
miserable
when you're bored.
Miserable people need things to do,
But anyway...
Cheers.
And also, you know, in the vein of the massive unemployment, there's, you know, progressively more and more homeless and otherwise destitute individuals, you know, on the streets. There are plenty of trash cans, though, that have, like, built-in ashtrays, right? And, you know, this might be assuming a lot of our audience, but I know that... You may are at least aware of the device called a blunt splitter.
Yes.
You push a cigar through this ring.
Was it very necessary to point me specifically out in that? I just want to.
I have nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
All right. Go on.
No idea.
You don't know what a blunt splitter is?
No.
Okay, so I'll describe it to you, if you can figure it out, then maybe our audience can figure it out. But it's a little ring has an opening the size of a cigar, and you push the cigar through it, and it has a little razor blade that sticking through on one part. So as you push the cigar through, it cuts it along the edge so you can empty the tobacco out of it.
Okay.
And then fill it with whatever you're going to smoke inside of the blunt wrap. We put the idea is to put something like that on, near an ashtray. So you, like, if you're going to finish your cigarette, and, like, I'm a person, I don't smoke my cigarettes down to the filter, you know. There's always a good half inch to an inch of cigarette left when I put out my cigarette. And so, you know, the idea is you put your cherry out, and there's still some tobacco in there. And then you push your cigarette remnant into this thing that splits the cigarette out. All of the tobacco drains into a receptacle. A homeless person can then come by and collect the tobacco,
leftover tobacco
from this receptacle, so that, like, everyone who doesn't finish 100% of their cigarette can leave behind a little bit of scrap. This is called sniping, by the way. Anyone who's lived on the street probably knows a little bit about this. I, for one, have sniped my fair share. Where you take cigarette butts, empty all the leftover tobacco out of it, put them in a rolly.
Yeah.
This would make it essentially very easy. And it's good for the homeless person, because, or, you know, down and out person. I don't want to discriminate or, like, single anyone out. Anyone who can't afford a cigarette that needs a cigarette can come, and there'll be little, like, cigarette papers available next to it. You grab the cigarette paper, you put the cigarette. It's all kind of on the honor system, you know, like.
Well, see, yeah, okay, let me start.
Keep this secure.
The tobacco is, it doubles as a waste management circumstance, because more of that's going to be burnt off. But now that you're talking about adding some papers into these dispensers, I'm curious, because there is,
I imagine it's going
to
be like a public restroom.
It's an enticement to create more paper.
The rolling papers aren't always going to be there, you know.
Do you have a solution to that?
This is
going
to have to be another non-profit idea. We're going to have to ask for money.
Yeah. You know, the only...
And we're going to have to build these things.
The only thing that I haven't completely figured out yet is, like, how do you restrict access to it for those under 18? Because I'm certainly not for underage use of cigarettes.
That is a huge issue.
Yeah. But if you have any ideas or suggestions, those in our audienceship, please feel free to contact us via Facebook, Mae McDonough and Company.
Yeah, MaeMcDonoughandCompany.com is a very difficult thing to spell, but we'll spell it for you later.
Yeah, let's all get on board with getting homeless people cigarettes.
Well, no,
that's the most important.
But see, it's not just that. See, rather than homeless people coming up to you,
it's waste management, Lou. That's what we're talking about here.
See, here's
it's
the
an environmental
idea.
Not everyone who smokes cigarettes is down to give a homeless guy a cigarette.
No,
but a homeless, guy always walks up to a smoker and asks for a cigarette. See, here's the thing, is now no one has to deal with someone coming up to them and asking
jumping
for a cigarette.
Board. They should be able to interact with people.
They should
there
be able to.
There is a
and maybe
slight
that's the only
tinge
that they
of
have.
Some sort of hoity-toity pretentious
that's how we,
them and us idea going on here.
It's called compromise. That's how... You know, how are we... I'm down to give someone a cigarette when they ask for mm-hmm. one, you know?
Yeah,
not everyone does that, though.
That's
this
true.
Is a way for everyone to contribute towards someone smoking a cigarette who can't otherwise afford a cigarette.
I feel like we're making rich people even more content than they already are, though.
Yeah, you're making a stronger bureaucratic divide
most
between...
Because people that are, like, down to earth and okay with
but
the
we're
situation,
also significantly improving
that.
The odds of the homeless guy getting a cigarette to smoke.
That is very true. I'm split. I don't know.
Why don't we just... You know what? Actually, with our timing, we should probably move on to the last segment. That was called Ideas We Have to Fix Society, But Not Really, which I think is rather fitting. We're going to keep that title.
Yeah, I don't think either of those ideas really fix society, but they might make it marginally better. And that's really what we're all about here.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little things
that don't really work at all. So, we're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon here, because I think we're reaching the hour mark, which actually, that was far more successful than I thought it would be.
High five.
But, yeah. So, that said, I want to bring everyone's attention to a couple events going on this weekend. It is Thanksgiving weekend, and people are off work, people are getting drunk anyways, so if you're sad and you're lonely and you're in your room getting wasted and you're fat, here are some things to do. Like me. So, first of all, we've got on Thursday, I believe. Friday. We've got Mike Meza, a dear friend of ours, a very sweet guy. He used to be in a band with me, and he's helped us out with a lot of situations. He's got a show going on November 23rd with a really great list of good bands and great band titles, to be honest. It is at the Avalon Bar, not the one in LA. It's in Costa Mesa, which is about 45 minutes out. And it's got Wyatt Blair, Levitation Room at 10, Froth at 11, and Blackfeet Braves at midnight. Mike Meza, I probably should be talking about bands right now, but I'm going to talk about Mike Meza because honestly, anything Mike Meza presents is probably at least decent, and if not, pretty damn good.
He can clearly do better from that description.
No, he does a great job, and he knows everyone, but from LA to Orange County, and I don't know how he does it, but he has great taste, so I would go to any show he does. And he has a show November 23rd with Wyatt Blair, Levitation Room, Froth, Blackfeet, Braves, Midnight. I like all those
good names.
Bands, yeah, and they're good names. So, and then on Saturday, we actually, as a band, Mae McDonough and Company, performed at Upright Citizens Brigade, because I don't know how this happened, but a lot of my connections with comedians ended up making us as a band play a lot of gigs at comedy clubs. We played at the Improv a couple times, and we played at Upright Citizens Brigade in Los Angeles.
Not as fun if you're a band.
Not as fun as if you're a band. I lost my shoe, though. My shoe went flying into the audience when we first walked on the
stage. True story.
That was awesome. And the other shoe was left in the green room somehow. Not even drunk. I don't even know how that happened.
That was a lie.
But, was it really? I don't remember. So, probably. But, anyhow, when we performed at UCB, we met these guys called the Walsh Brothers. And they're pretty damn funny. And I'm pretty picky about my comedy, and they do the trick. I don't know what else I'm going to say about that. But they're performing Saturday at UCB LA, which is on Franklin. If you don't know where it is, it's easily accessible through Google. I don't know why I'm telling you that. But I would highly suggest, if you're going anywhere this weekend, that you go to UCB on Saturday. And that's 11:30. Yeah, 11:30 p.m. Besides that, that's really all I'm going to plug, because none of this is solicited. Yeah, so the last thing before we go is I want to remind people that we are a band, and this was our first attempt at podcasting, but...
Have a little mercy.
Yeah, have a little mercy, have a heart.
Do, 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 do.
But, I tried to go with you there for a second. Snaps, it didn't really take
mercy,
off.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
Yeah. But that said, we're going to keep trying to do this every week, and we're going to start bringing in friends, musicians, bands, comedians, everything we can. for you. In the meantime, this is what we got. So please do check out. We have a music video out there. We also have a viral video or an attempted viral video out there. Soon to be viral video out there. We built a very extremely large blanket fort and we tagged our single on there. So you should go watch that on Funny or Die.
Yeah. Check out the video and catch the virus.
That sounds creepy.
We need a cricket sound to go right there.
But all of these things and more are soon to come.
So that said, you can check us out until we get our podcast page up. You can check us out at maymcdonoughandcompany.com. That's maymcdonoughandcompany.com.
We should shorten that.
But it's the McDonough part that gets people.
You know, I really think that
MCD and C is a good way to go.
MCD and C.
Yeah.
I don't think that works at all. Anyways.
You make hip hop, right?
It sounds like a light beer.
Beer. We need more beer. All right, so that said, anyways, we're going to wrap it up, and thank you for listening, if you're listening. If you have any events, or if you want to be a guest, or if you have anything to say, please contact us at maymcdonough@gmail.com, and you can, again, check us out on our website. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday night. Have a great Thanksgiving, and that's it. Say bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Oh, and we're going to play you out with our new single, which is called Hell Is for Lovers. Here we go. Thank you.